welcome to MicroByte. My name's Gavin Clark, software editor for The Register.
And I'm Mary Jo Foley, editor of the All About Microsoft blog on ZDNet.
And on this edition of MicroByte, we'll be looking at HP's acquisition of Palm. What does that mean for Microsoft's Windows Phone 7 business, and indeed for Windows 7 itself? Project Natal. Steve-O reckons it's the most exciting and most innovative thing to come from Microsoft this year. Is it? Hasn't he heard of Windows Phone 7? And Microsoft's patent lockdown on phone manufacturer HTC. Is Microsoft playing the role of White Knight against Apple for HTC? Or is this just another competitive swipe at Linux? We're going to dive into that one. So, Hewlett-Packard's acquisition of Palm. This one was floating around for a little while, I think. It's been about a year since the new, or just under a year since the new chief executive of Palm came, ascended to his position over there. And there were a lot of rumors floating around that somebody was going to buy Palm. Obviously, of course, these were denied. I think it's probably the most interesting acquisition for a long time for a number of reasons. One is for the fact that HP is obviously first and foremost is a PC and server manufacturer. Well, they do have some devices, they have some mobile devices out there as well. And also they're one of Microsoft's biggest and most diehard partners when it comes to Windows. They've got a large consulting business, and obviously we all know they ship a hell of a lot of Windows on PCs and servers. So what does this mean? The WebOS, it's built on Linux. The fact HP is getting into the mobile business, what does that mean? Taking a step back, HP's made a lot of running recently in by getting very innovative. I mean, they've always been quite a creative company. They're getting more innovative, and they made a big running out of the touch screen PC input, which they were doing with the multi-touch PCs. They're a fascinating example of what you could do with Windows when it comes to multi-touch and multi-input. And now they seem to be getting to bring in that kind of multi-touch aspect to the PC business. Well, one wonders why on earth didn't HP just go with Windows Phone 7? Because obviously that's coming out by the end of the year. That's going to have a lot of the aspects that that the Palm brings. And then the other interesting fact is, which probably answers this, is another interesting fact is, you know, what does this mean for the future of HP's PC business if they're putting WebOS, a Linux-based operating system, on handhelds, or phones in this case? How far does it go? Do we start seeing WebOS on more tablet-based devices? Do we then see those touch smart PCs, they start then running WebOS? It's not inconceivable, because if you go to the open source camp and look at Google, you'll see that you've got Android is increasingly finding its way off of the handsets, off of the phone, and onto devices. And I know that we have the new series of netbooks. Let me just take a break there. What is that called that Google's working on? The netbook OS. What's it called? I'm blanking.
The Chrome OS based.
Chrome OS, yeah. So, and looking over the open source world, it's not inconceivable if you consider what's going on with Google right now. Android, for example, was first and foremost an OS for for handsets, for cell phones. But increasingly, people are putting on non-cell phone devices. And then towards the end of the year, you'll have Chrome OS, which is Google's kind of super operating system, non-operating system, browser-based operating system for netbooks that will rely a lot on online services. So there's a lot of dimensions to what's going on here. It's a small Palm, it's a small company, it's an interesting company. HP is at the other end of the scale in terms of interest. Frankly, it's not a too exciting company, I don't think. It makes PCs, makes servers very well, but it's not overly exciting. But it's a huge company, but it's now jumping into the handset market full square, and it's using a Linux operating system to do that. A lot of people, MJ, I think you'll agree, are kind of interested to see this, how this plays out and what ramifications this will have on HP's relationship to Windows, and also its relationship to Microsoft.
Yep. I think Gavin, when I heard about the deal, the first thing I was thinking from a Microsoft perspective is, wow, I bet Microsoft's not too happy about this.
Yeah.
And the reason is, as you pointed out, you know, HP is one of their biggest partners. That said, I've been reading conflicting things about whether HP actually had announced its intentions to be a Windows Phone 7 partner. Because, you know, Microsoft had decided to kind of tighten up how many people it was working with as close partners for Windows Phone 7 devices. And I didn't think HP was on that list. I know, you know, LG is on that list. Asus is on that list. There's just a handful of people. And I didn't hear HP's name listed when we first heard who the partners were. So if that's true and HP was not going to make a Windows Phone 7 device, that makes this a little less onerous for Microsoft. Mm-hmm. But if they were going to do one, then it's pretty dire for them, because you can bet they're going to be doing non-Windows Phone 7 devices running WebOS, mm-hmm. and that's going to be their primary platform. On the PC side, I think Microsoft probably is also somewhat worried, because as we know from earlier this year, when Microsoft was asked, what's your answer to Apple's iPad, they kept touting the HP Slate that's coming out this summer. That device is running Windows 7, not the phone operating system, but actual Windows 7. So that, I'm sure that device is still going to ship being a Windows 7 device, and they're not going to suddenly rip out the operating system and turn it into a WebOS based device. Mm-hmm. But going forward, you know, what's HP going to do when it comes to things like slates and tablets and other smaller form factors? I would bet they would be looking real hard at WebOS more so than Windows going forward.
Well, it's entirely conceivable. HP, of course, has one thing that Palm always lacked, which was manufacturing scale and channels, two things which Palm lacked. It will be interesting to see. And the other thing that's very interesting here is the price of the operating system. Obviously, HP has to pay Microsoft money to license Windows. If you own WebOS, you don't, because HP now owns it, and it's Linux as well. Even mm-hmm. If it licensed it from somebody, if it just taken the OS from Palm, it probably wouldn't have had to pay Palm. But anyway, so now it owns the OS. It's now not got to pay Microsoft. And we all know this is an industry driven. As much as people talk about technology vision, it's also driven by economics, as any mm-hmm. industry really is. So after a while, if these devices ship well, the businesses can start looking at this on the overhead they're paying and the margins they're making on devices, and they will decide that, you know, if this works out from a technology perspective, the economics fall into place, and we decided we can make more money on shipping slates that use WebOS than slates that use Windows, simply because we're not paying Microsoft a big fat royalty fee.
Well, you know, it's funny, when you just said that, I just kind of had an aha moment, because I was like, oh wow, but what if Microsoft now goes to HP and says, you know how we just held up HTC and made them sign a patent deal, and now they had to pay us money? What if they go to HP and say, by the way, WebOS also violates the same patents that Android did?
As I was saying that also went off in my head as well.
Yep. So maybe it won't be, quote-unquote, free as in beer, right? Maybe it'll be free as in beer plus $40 to Microsoft for every slate.
We'll come on to this in a second. Microsoft has never disclosed the patents in question. There's always been a certain case of smoke and mirrors, I feel, on this one. So it'll be interesting to see if somebody finally stands up to Microsoft on this subject, if it's going to be HP or not. I fear, considering the nature of business and the cordial relationship between HP and Microsoft that's generally been in existence, that they would go along. If this happened, they would go along with it. They wouldn't stand up to Microsoft to make this a cause or anything like that.
Yeah, man, that would be an interesting discussion to have. Okay, if you want to hold us up for the WebOS patent, then we aren't going to carry Windows anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, HP's in a great bargaining position, more so than other companies that are more dependent on Linux.
But then it also shows that the power or lack of power that Microsoft had in it. If, as you say, you're correct, that Microsoft kept HP out of the ecosystem for Windows Phone 7 because it wanted to maintain tight control, then it's interesting that HP decided to kind of go its own way. It decided first that it did want to be in the handset market regardless, and secondly, it decided that it was going to do it with or without Microsoft. That's how much premium it decided it wanted to put on this entrance. Microsoft, not the power. I mean, could you imagine back in the 90s, if this is back in the 90s, and Microsoft had withheld an operating system, Windows, from a PC maker, the PC maker probably would have been out of business. But in these days, there's now greater alternative, greater choice, and Linux has given HP that string to its bow, possibly, that it can now stick two things up to Microsoft and go, well, you're not going to give us Windows Phone 7, so we'll do it with Linux, with WebOS instead.
The other wild card in all this that I'm thinking about now that I hadn't really thought through before was this is an ARM-based mobile operating system that HP acquired with WebOS. And if you think about what does Microsoft have running on ARM, on the ARM processor? It has Windows CE, but it does not have Windows still. Remember when there was that controversy, was Windows 7 going to run on ARM or wasn't it? And it was back and forth. And then they came out with a statement and said, no, Windows 7 is not going to run on ARM. But they never said, will Windows 8 run on ARM? And there are some tablet makers out there I've been hearing about that are actually building tablets based on Windows CE at the lowest level with the Microsoft mobile operating system layered on top. So maybe we will see also Windows Phone 7 based tablets coming, and maybe it won't be from HP, but it might be from other vendors. So then there's a whole question: could HP be one of those vendors and have two lines? You know, have a Windows Phone 7 tablet and have a WebOS tablet, or might they have a dual boot tablet with WebOS and Windows Phone 7 or Windows 7? I mean, there's all these kind of unknown balls up in the air at this point.
I think it's conceivable they could easily have both. I don't think it would be an either or. I mean, if they make a success of this and they sting Microsoft enough, then it's conceivable that Microsoft would come to them and offer them a Windows 7 phone, if indeed they denied them in the first place. So yeah, you could. I mean, the handset market is so diverse. You know, Nokia runs different operating systems, for example. The one thing that was notable about Palm was it was very limited by what it could do. And so it wasn't able, you know, I was losing my train of thought there. One thing that was notable about Palm was it was WebOS and that was it, whereas HP can offer a diversity of choice in terms of operating systems. One thing that is another point that's interesting is the developer ecosystem. There's a real issue here. It's one thing to own WebOS, but it's another thing to have any developers who are building apps to run on it. And I know that one thing that went seriously wrong for Palm was it managed to piss off a lot of developers with its developer program in the early days, and they're still building WebOS. A lot of people walked away from it. So there's a lack of applications up there. Another issue, I know that Palm's results were not so good in its previous quarter, which is one reason possibly for the acquisition, because literally the Palm devices were not selling as well as had been anticipated. What went wrong there? Does HP know what it's getting into? Is it a problem of marketing and lack of channel, or are there serious technical difficulties, you know, that make it less appealing? Was it just the advertising, which is frankly strange? You know, there's a lot of issues, a lot of unknowns. I mean, WebOS it's got a lot of, and Palm itself, there's a lot of unknowns about it. HP has kind of jumped, it's taken a bet on something in a way that's kind of not paid out. Whereas again, Windows Phone 7, the developer gene pool is there, if not the App Store right now. So it would have been maybe a surer bet to go with that. But you know, it's all kind of under the bridge by now, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, I think HP, in some ways, HP was between a rock and a hard place. If they weren't on the invited list for Windows Phone 7, they didn't have a strategy for mobile. Like, when you think, what was HP's strategy for mobile phones? They didn't have one.
Yeah.
And can you really be successful in the PC market right now without a phone strategy? I don't think you can.
Well, it's notable there was that so-called leak that Engadget had recently about that so-called those new Dell devices that were coming out is significant. I thought that HP must have felt it was losing out in the marketplace because its great PC rival Dell was coming out with all these great Windows Phone 7 devices. So yeah, I reckon there's a lot of, that's a separate discussion, but there's a lot of competitive envy between HP and Dell on that, and this must have been a factor in deciding, right, we're going to get into phones and we're going to go with WebOS.
Yep.
So I know that's obviously there's a whole lot of subjects in that, but I know MJ, something you picked up on was Steve-O on the whole kind of like Project Natal thing. Why don't you tell us about that?
Steve-O, I like that. How about Steve-O-Rino?
Steve-O-Rino. It sounds a little sleazy.
It does. Yeah, Steve-O-Rino was down in Colombia actually this past week. He was on a tour talking about Microsoft and BPOS, the Business Productivity Online Suite, and how Microsoft's getting more into the cloud and making those cloud apps available in a lot of different countries, not just the handful that they've had them out in so far. Mm. But he, in part of his Q&A, a transcript of which I saw on Microsoft's site, somebody asked him, you know, what do you think is going to be the hottest product for Microsoft this year? Because you guys are fielding a lot of products. You've got Office 2010 coming out. You got SharePoint. You got a new version of some of the Forefront products. You've got Windows Phone 7. You've got Kin. You know, if you had to pick among all your children, Steve Areno, which one would be your favorite? And his answer to me was really surprising. He picked Project Natal, which is that gesture-based game controlling technology that Microsoft has been showing off, and that they're going to show at E3 in June and launch this holiday season. So, you know, I kind of understood Gavin why he would say that, because Microsoft is so intent on proving to people we're not just always copying Apple and Google and everybody else, and we actually have ideas of our own. So they always tout Natal as like, here's proof we can actually think for ourselves.
But they're copying Nintendo with the Wii.
Yeah, I kind of think that too. But that's what they kind of hold up as, see, we can do things that are innovative too. And we can do all these new cool things where you have gesture-based technologies, and there may at some day even be implications for how you interact with your PC. But right now it's definitely just an Xbox thing, and to some extent a TV thing, where you're going to be able to use gestures, have gesture recognition, and that's how you have the input with your console and your TV. So that was what he chose, and I'm sure that created some hard feelings at Microsoft, I would think. I know it did in some of the people who I was talking to on Twitter and on my blog, because they were like, wait a second, he didn't say Windows Phone 7? Like, isn't that their big bet for this year? And isn't that their coolest thing and the newest thing and the most innovative thing they're doing? So I think it was kind of an odd and, I guess, in some ways, telling choice.
Mm. Do you think he was caught out, or he was just talking about consumer? I mean, was the context really of all your products, or was he just being selective on, say, consumer, or, you know, in
no.
some way?
Let me read you the sentence even. I'm looking at it on my site here.
Right.
Perhaps, this is his direct verbatim sentence. Perhaps for me, the most exciting product we will bring to market this year comes out of our video gaming group. It's a technology that we call Natal. It's a little camera and a microphone that sits on top of your TV set. I mean, he was saying, like, this is the technology. And he was, you know, he was addressing an audience of CEOs and CIOs. So it wasn't like he was addressing people at the Consumer Electronics Show. He was talking to people who you think he might say SharePoint or Forefront. Instead, he said Natal. This does get back to what you just kind of raised, though. Like, you know, is it consumer versus enterprise? Are they trying to just play up the consumer side? You know, their whole consumerization of technology and how they want to look like a consumer company now more than an enterprise company. I think all that came into play as well.
Mm-hmm. So there's definitely a message here, and like an underlying message he's pushing. Yeah, I can see that. I mean, from everything I've seen, this put things in context a little bit. What's coming from Office 2010, SharePoint, I've seen nothing in there that's revolutionary. It's another update. The most exciting thing there is going to be the web apps, which is kind of, you know, following in the footsteps of Google to a great extent. What else we got? We had an update to SQL Server, which is not going to get the kids running out into the streets, is it? Text you about that.
Well, if you're a CIO, it might, you know, because it has all this power pivot, business intelligence, blah blah blah. So
it's worthy stuff, but it's not going to is it exciting to the mainstream user? I don't think so. Yeah.
Right.
And then Windows Phone 7, but that does surprise me, because, I mean, if you want to pitch yourself as a consumer company, then Windows Phone 7 was surely the thing to do it in an exciting market. I mean, games, yes, very exciting. It's a big market, and, you know, but it's the attention is surely on smartphones at the moment. I'm surprised he didn't pick on that and talk that up more.
Yeah, I was surprised. Unless it was because those phones aren't going to be out to market in Columbia this calendar year. I don't know, but it is Natal. I think Natal is also not going to be out this year in a lot of countries. So, yeah, I don't know. I thought it was an odd one. But, you know, they have talked about, not recently, but I'd say about a year ago, they were talking up how Natal someday might be the way you interact with things like Office, which at the time I kind of laughed. I was like, oh, yeah, I want to use a gaming controller to, like, look at a spreadsheet or something, you know. Yeah. But I think they really, really are pushing lately on voice and touch and all the ways that you can interact other than a keyboard, because they think this is where the market's going and where all the innovation's going to be happening. And I think they're at risk doing that by potentially alienating their biggest, or at least their richest customer base, which is our enterprise customers.
Yeah, I wonder. I think that they probably feel that the enterprise customer is not going to go anywhere. I mean, they're there. I mean, yeah. It's like a maintenance business for them, isn't it? I mean, yeah. The consumer business is the growth business.
Yeah.
And what happens in consumer feeds its way back into enterprise, essentially, ultimately. So, yeah, I'm sure the enterprise does feel kind of left out, that the business user feels left out, but are they going to go away? It's like Oracle users. They might complain about the company, but they never go away. They remain Oracle users.
They just keep coming back like bad pennies.
They keep coming back for more abuse from Larry. They seem to want to get enough of that stuff.
Yeah. Yep. So that was kind of telling, I thought, especially given, you know, Microsoft just had their earnings, latest quarterly earnings, and although the entertainment and devices division, which is where Xbox resides at Microsoft, was in the black. They were in the black at least, and not in the red for a change. They didn't do great, and they admitted gaming console sales weren't that great, and that Xbox Live is kind of bailing that division out right now, and the phone sales are down. So maybe they're just saying, "Wow, we hope this division's going to be saved by something like Natal." So
I think that's a lot to do with it. I think it's notable. I mean, have you heard any more about this whole thing? Steven Sinofsky was in the frame to take over the Windows Phone 7 business, wasn't he, from Robbie Bass?
That was rumor, yeah. Although everybody I asked about it inside and outside Microsoft was like, no, that's not going to happen. No way. It's kind of like Robbie Bach versus Steven Sinofsky. They're like probably the two presidents right now who seem to have the most power inside Microsoft, and they seem to both want to really preserve their fiefdoms. So,
yeah,
I don't see Robbie wanting to give that one up.
I don't see him wanting to give it up as well, but I think it's a matter of if they can prove that a Windows 7 would do better in the Windows division than it would do in the gaming and devices division.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. So yeah, that's about all I have to tell you about Natal.
I think we've exhausted that one. Okay. Moving on.
Okay.
Patent lockdown. That's always a good subject, isn't it? and HTC. There it was. There's HTC. They thought they could do no wrong. They're in bed with Microsoft. They're in bed with Google, making the Android phone. And then Microsoft comes at them with this the so-called patent protection clause. It's a bit like the mafia coming after you and saying, "Nice little business you got there. It'd be a shame if anything would happen to it, wouldn't it? We can get offer this insurance plan as well. It involves a man with a gun man with a thick set jaw standing outside your business, vetting everyone who comes in," which is basically what they did with this patent protection clause, isn't it? And they've done this before with other companies. I mean, they've done it to Amazon. They did it to Novell. Linspire? They did it to Linspire as well. And I'm sure, and I know there are others that just, there are others. I was going to mention TomTom, but that was a slightly different case.
Yeah.
So what gives? I've asked Microsoft, what the hell are you doing? Why don't you, if there's patent issues in Linux, why don't you just come out and prosecute or like reveal what's going on? But they never do. There's something going on here, MJ. What do you think? What is a strategy? Is this it off? Lock off different parts of the market? What do you think?
I think they're best served by maintaining a veil of secrecy in this whole thing. It's like you're more scared by what you don't know than what you do know. Mm-hmm. And they always kind of imply, hey, you might be in violation of some patents of ours and we could get really nasty about this. But they never want to say publicly what those patents are, because then if a company, say like Red Hat, sees the list of patents and says, hey, we're not in violation of these, then the threat loses its power. Mm. I actually have talked to somebody who knows which patents they are that they are citing. But as soon as they tell you, you're slapped with all these NDAs, and if you reveal it, you could go to jail, blah, blah, blah. So they have all these ways of kind of controlling that information from getting out. Mm-hmm. So I think what they do is they go to a company and they say, hey, you're in violation of our patents because of Linux. Linux violates, 100-plus of our patents. I forget what the exact number was.
230, I believe.
I think that was not just Linux, though. That was like also OpenOffice and like a whole bunch of other things too. But Linux, it was like close to 100, if not 100, by itself, I think. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a pretty dire threat if Microsoft, with their deep pockets and their thousands of lawyers, come after you because you're in violation of their patents.
Well, it's an interesting strategy, because it's one thing to make money off of this stuff, but it's another thing to win goodwill in the community. And I know that, you know, I speak to people in the open source community, and there is a solid and residual skepticism about anything that Microsoft does.
Right.
First and foremost, and secondly, when it attempts to reach out to the community and appear at conferences or offer projects and code to the community, such as it did with Joomla recently, mm-hmm. And tries to say, "Hey, we've changed," people kind of snort and go, "Yeah, right." And then something like this happens. And I spoke recently to James Upschneider, who's now supposedly in charge of, it sounds like, messaging and communications all around open source. And he's in Kevin Turner's like operation. So he's kind of right at the top of the business. And they're trying to convince people that, you know, the religious war is over on the one hand, and that, hey, we can all interoperate and cooperate. But on the other hand, there seems to be this other strategy at play, or this other division within Microsoft, which is to go, okay, yes, but we're still going to take on Linux, and still going to take on open source. Yeah. And I wonder, is this kind of a two-fisted strategy, nice on the one hand, nasty on the other hand? Mm-hmm. Or is it just that Microsoft sees open source in two ways? One is the applications business, which it's less hostile to. And the other is Linux, which it's completely hostile to, because it's a platform. And if the Linux business, if Windows loses to Linux, it's a lost sale forever. So it's maybe a case of be nice to the open source apps like Joomla, but, you know, try and shut down the Linux business in any way you can. In this particular case, it seems to be through, you know, this kind of drip effect of patent protection clauses.
Yeah, I think you're totally right on the Linux versus the open source distinction, because it is like it's almost like you're dealing with two different Microsofts. You know, there's whenever you bring up Linux, it's like kill, right? And then when you bring up like, but what about the apps that might be able to, open source apps running on Windows? Oh, we love them and we want to get them in the fold, you know. So it's definitely two different parts of Microsoft, and the lawyers are way more intent on going after the companies who either sell Linux or actually companies who embed Linux in products like Amazon and like HTC. You know, another part of this whole Microsoft HTC patent deal we haven't talked about is the Apple connection, and also the Google connection. But first, the Apple connection. So you probably remember, Gavin, Apple sued HTC in early March because they said they were infringing on 20 Apple patents that had to do with hardware, the architecture, and the UI. So now that brings a whole extra interesting element into this Microsoft HTC deal, because I'm wondering, are any of the patents that Apple considers to be in contention the same ones that HTC just paid Microsoft to license? Mm-hmm. So we don't really know that for a fact. We're assuming, because it's Android, that they're a different set of patents, but I'm not convinced they are a different set of patents, because there was also, as I recall, when the Apple HTC thing happened, there were some Windows Mobile overlap too there, because HTC sells Windows Mobile phones and also Android phones. Mm-hmm. And the Apple suit didn't really make a distinction between, we're only suing you over the Android phones. It also included some Windows Mobile phones too. So that's like a whole other can of worms that's interesting. And, you know, some people were wondering aloud, oh, maybe Microsoft did this deal with the HTC so that they wouldn't have to go after Apple's iPhone themselves, but they could kind of have HTC be the middleman. I know.
It's fascinating. I mean, it's just, we'll never know.
I know, we never will know.
Nobody talks about it. These deals are never talked about.
No.
All we can do is look at the context. And Silicon Valley in particular is a great place for these kind of like, Uber conspiracies to be like to show around, and then you forget where you heard them, and then it becomes facts. But the players never talk about the actual facts involved. From what I said, I know that the perception of the open source community is that Microsoft remains hostile to Linux in particular, and that the company can't be trusted. I was just taking a look at the amount of Linux on handsets. Let's just focus on that. You know, say for example, Microsoft continues to just work its way through the phone ecosystem, taking out one Linux company after another. There's a lot of companies. I mean, we're talking Samsung, Nokia, LG, Sony. You've got Dell, obviously. Some of these, Acer, who else here? More HTC. There's a lot of companies here that are using, and Palm pops up again, which brings us back to the earlier discussion. There's a lot of companies here that are in the cell phone space alone that are using Linux. Are using Linux on devices. Now, some of those guys, such as Dell, or who else, or even HP through Palm, might have some kind of patent indemnification because they've got an existing relationship with Microsoft already, but the way it looks is that if Microsoft's going for a takedown of company by company, there's a lot of phone providers out there using Linux that it can approach on an individual basis. And then that's just the phone companies. Then you've got all the set-top box manufacturers and all the people who make Blu-ray players and DVD players who also use Linux. So this is something that can just keep running and running as far as Microsoft's lawyers are concerned.
Yeah, totally. And, just the same way there are conspiracy theories around, did Microsoft do this to get at Apple? I've heard other people saying, actually, excuse me, what Microsoft was doing this to get at Google. the idea was Microsoft is almost at least as afraid, if not more afraid, of Android's growth and increasing pickup, as you're pointing out, by more and more vendors in different kinds of devices. So instead of going head-to-head with Google, Microsoft sues Google for patent infringement, they're going to, again, use a middleman and say, okay, if we can prove that these Android patents that HTC is using are in violation of our patents, then we don't have to go after Android directly, but we're still going to hurt Google. Mm-hmm. And there were some not so thinly veiled hints in a blog post that Microsoft put up that they're not just talking to HTC about Android violating their patents, but they're talking to other phone vendors too. They didn't name names, but they made it sound as if there could be other deals in the wings similar to the Microsoft HTC one.
It wouldn't surprise me. I did ask Google to comment on this as well, and they refused to comment.
Yeah.
But I mean, the obvious implication here is that Google's Android Linux, as other Linuxes, violate Microsoft patents, as yet unspecified Microsoft patents. And as we know in the PC and server world, Microsoft's gone after those companies that distribute Linux to kind of like sign them to patent clauses. It's only logical that it would now go after people in the mobile space, and particularly Google, because it's kind of like distributing its own Linux through Android. So yeah, that makes sense. I mean, interestingly, so far one of the biggest companies to stand up to Microsoft and not subject itself to a patent protection clause, Red Hat. Apart from Google,
yep.
Of course.
Yep. So, Gavin, I think it's time for us to talk about the Steve Ballmer Mood Index.
What mood is El Stevo in this week?
What are our choices again?
Hold on, let me just put it up here. We have frustrated, intense, all business, victorious, and monkey boy, which during my time on Microbyte, we've never actually had.
No, we've never had a monkey boy.
But I have heard Balmer can go a bit crazy.
Yeah, I think something bigger has to happen. Like the Yahoo deal not being approved, perhaps, yeah. But it was. So, anyways, I'm still thinking he's kind of in his all business mode, just because Microsoft just had their earnings, their third quarter earnings. They were good. They weren't great. They're selling a lot of Windows 7, they say. They say they've sold 100 million copies now. So they're doing things that they need to do. They're delivering products, they RTM'd Office and all that, but nothing is like really knocking the ball out of the park at this point.
Yeah, it seems to me, based on Wall Street's reaction to their results recently, the fact that their shares were down after the results, even though Microsoft claimed a record quarter on revenue, I believe it was, there's not much Microsoft could, well, it's not doing anything wrong, but it needs to try a whole lot harder to impress people. And maybe Steve's right. Maybe the biggest thing this year will be Natal, because Office is not going to particularly wow Wall Street. Windows 7, well, it's another operating system from Windows. You can keep those coming, please. SharePoint, I mean, it's a stable business. So, yeah, I think it's probably an accurate assessment. I think he, if this whole HTC stuff fed its way up to Steve's office, he probably feels good about that. But I think we were saying earlier on, he might also feel a little unsettled by the fact HP's bought Palm for all the reasons we discussed.
Yeah. Yep. So I think, it's stay the course, and they've got some big shows coming up. They've got the Tech Ed show, the partner show, then they get their financial analyst meeting. So they get a lot of things coming up. They always have a busy summer and try to have a lot of things going on in their last quarter as far as closing deals and getting sales done and all that. So I think he's just got his nose to the grindstone, and it's full steam ahead.
Indeed. Full steam ahead until the end of the year, until Windows Phone 7 and Natal.
Yep.
Cool. All right. Well, it's that time again.
Time to say goodbye to our loyal listeners.
Yes. Goodbye, Mom. So, my name's Gavin Clark. I'm the software editor for The Register.
And I'm Mary Jo Foley, editor of the All About Microsoft blog.
And this has been Microbyte, brought to you by the people who bite the hand that feeds IT.